This week, I've had the pleasure of hearing from happy clients admitted to top-tier programs like Harvard, Stanford, Penn, and Chicago. We are also finishing up work with Round 3 MBA applicants and applicants to other degree programs as final deadlines quickly come and go. And yesterday, I gave a webinar with 7 to-dos for 2015 MBA applicants. Yes, folks, as the 2014 application cycle grinds to a close, it is time to turn our attention to next year's applications. And an aptitude test score is a critical element in any application to a top-tier graduate program. Hello, I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk. Before I introduce our special guest, I would like to introduce you to a few resources on Accepted that may help you with issues associated with the test that you're taking and its outcome. First, should you retake the GMAT, a video in which I address that question. It seems to be a very, very common question. And secondly, how to put your best foot forward on test day, a guest post provided by Magoosh. We'll link to both the video and the Magoosh post from the show notes at info.accepted.com/50. The Magoosh post leads me directly to our special guest today, Bhavin Parikh, CEO and founder of Magoosh, the leading online test prep company. Bhavin attended Duke University, where he earned a joint BS, BA in economics and computer science. It's probably a BS, BA would be in computer science and economics, but whatever. He then worked for Deloitte Consulting for 5 years and attended UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business, where he earned his MBA and launched Magoosh with his late partner, Hansu Lee. Bhavin, welcome to Admission Straight Talk. I'm delighted you have agreed to join me today.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. It's a pleasure to be on the show. And I have to say, actually, you were right the first time. It's a BS, BA in economics and computer science. Isn't that
really? Right? So the BA was the computer science part?
It was. Basically, I just took fewer computer science classes and got a BA instead of the BS, which I did do in economics. And so you had it right.
I had it right. Okay. Correction withdrawn. So now that we have that part right, let's move forward a little bit in your life story. How did you come to found Magoosh, which today offers GRE, GMAT, and SAT prep, as well as an online English course? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, so I applied to business schools, as I'm sure many of the listeners are doing, and this was back in 2008. I was lucky enough to get into Berkeley, to the Haas School of Business, and that's where I met my co-founders, Hansu, who you alluded to, and Pejman, who was an early co-founder, and also Vikram, who was an early co-founder. And so we had all rallied around this idea that GMAT prep needed to be easier. Classes were very expensive, thousands of dollars, and then books, for the most part, while convenient, weren't the most effective. And we wanted to bridge that gap and provide the best of a personal tutor, but with the convenience and accessibility of a book. We'd all gone through the pain of taking our GMAT, so that's how we started the company.
Okay, great. And now today it offers GRE and SAT as well as the GMAT and also online English courses. Are you planning to offer, let's say, TOEFL, IELTS, or PTE prep also? Or
yes, actually, so you're right, we offer GRE and GMAT, and those are our core products, and we're just getting into the SAT space and having some good early signals. And English, we offered primarily because we have a lot of students who are non-native English speakers, and
sure,
we are about to launch a TOEFL product, and that's coming, I'd say, in less than a month.
Oh, wow.
We have some early customers who are using it. So we're really excited. We've given access to some of our GRE students who are also studying for the TOEFL, and we're going to open it up much broader in the coming month.
Wonderful. Now, your bio on the Magoosh site says, he's on a mission to change the way people learn. Why are you on this mission, and how should people be learning?
Yeah, that's a great question. The mission really comes from an issue of accessibility.
Okay.
We've seen so many studies that show, for instance, for SAT scores, that SAT scores correlate highly with family income. Those who have the means can achieve better scores. And we really want to help level the playing field and provide better access, which is why we price our products that are, you know, as effective as many classes or more effective than some classes, why we price them at such an affordable rate, because we feel that everyone should have an equal opportunity to prep and to achieve a higher education. And so in terms of how people learn, we try to hire the best tutors we can find, and then on top of that, we make them better by using a lot of data. We have thousands or tens of thousands of students who use our product, We understand where people get stuck. We let them email us, ask us questions, and then we use that information to make our product better so future students don't need to email us with questions because our videos address their issues before they need to contact us.
Okay, so it's kind of a combination. And do students have their own individual tutor? Or is it like they call up and the tutor that's available is the one that assists them?
Oh, it's a great question. So students use our product at their own time. They pay a one-time fee. Mm-hmm. But when they run into a problem, they don't understand the explanation, they email us. And then we have a team of tutors, one of whom will respond. So there's no tutor assigned to a specific student, but students typically get a response within, I think, on average, about 10 hours, but it can take up to 2 days if it's the weekend or something like that. And then we use that information, like I said, to make the product better.
Okay. So you mentioned effectiveness. You said that, you know, Magoosh is as effective or more effective than traditional offline courses. How are you measuring that effectiveness?
So we ask all of our students if they've taken the test before and then to provide their score.
Okay.
And so we measure the effectiveness from their previous GRE or GMAT score to after using how they scored on the test. And what we've found is for the GRE, on average, those students who complete that survey are showing an increase of a little over 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually guarantee a 5-point increase. So if students fully use our product and they've taken the GRE before, we'll give them a full refund if they don't improve their score by 5 points.
And do you encourage students, if they haven't taken the test before, to take it like at the beginning of the process? Just have a benchmark?
We encourage students to take a test from the ETS, the software, PowerPrep, but we don't necessarily encourage students to go and pay for taking an actual GRE.
Oh, of course. No. No, I meant like a practice exam.
Yeah, but we don't use our own software to benchmark because in a way we'd view that as somewhat of a conflict of interest in that if we're trying to offer this guarantee, we think it should only be the official test compared to the official test.
Got it. Okay. Now, obviously, Magoosh is this combination of online learning with, I guess, email or telephone support. What other differences distinguish Magoosh from other test prep companies, both online and offline? Let's start with offline traditional classes, and then we'll move to comparing, if let's say, other online options.
Sure, and I think I should highlight that the support's primarily email. We don't really have telephone support.
Okay, so okay, email support then, right.
But the primary difference between classes and tutors is that, one, we're accessible anytime, anywhere. So students can use us at 11 p.m. at night, or when they have 10 minutes and they're at a bus stop, they can pull out our mobile app, and if they subscribe to our product, they can watch our videos on their phone. They can access our flashcards. So it's really anytime they're connected to the internet, they can access Magoosh, which is very different from a traditional class.
Right.
We have a lot of, surprising to us, we have a lot of working moms and dads who are thinking about going back to get a master's. They're taking their GRE, and they just don't have the time to sit in a class. They're very busy with their jobs, with their kids, and so they use Magoosh in the evenings when their kids are already sleeping. So that convenience is sort of one key component. Another one is price and affordability, and we've talked about that, where classes can cost thousands of dollars, and if we're able to generate similar results to classes at just a fraction of the price, many, many more students can afford our product compared to, say, a class or a tutor. And then it's also just in terms of this day and age, lots of people being connected to the computer all the time. We tried to create a simple, easy to use interface. So it's somewhat really easy for a student if they're just beginning to start by watching our lesson videos and learn how to add fractions if they've been out of school for 10 years, which has happened to many of our students.
Sure.
How to do, you know, what high school students might feel is simple math, but for people who've been out of school for 10 or 20 years might have forgotten. And so we can start students there. We can also start students with our interface at a much higher level and have them dive right into the harder GRE and GMAT questions and then work their way backwards when they don't understand something to come back to a lesson. So it sort of allows students to choose their own path, whereas in classes, I would say traditionally, you're moving at the pace of the instructor. And so you might be in a class with someone who's been out of math for 10 years, and you might have been doing math for the last year. And those two students need vastly different experiences, and Magoosh can provide that.
Okay, great. And how is Magoosh different from other online options?
That's a great question. And I think the reason we've been successful is because of our focus on content. We have a team of tutors who are full-time Magoosh employees, and all they do is think about how to help students learn. A lot of the other online options we've seen have a very engineering-heavy team. They focus a lot on the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say technology is not important, but we believe the content needs to come first. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do offer email support at no additional cost. And that's why we keep revising our content to make it better. We measure how much of each video every student's watching. We look at what videos are confusing to students, which ones they've rated poorly, and then we'll re-record those. And so we have a really heavy content focus, which ultimately helps our effectiveness. And we've seen a lot of other online products that are focused much more on technology, and they get their content from a third party. And we mm-hmm. just think that really you want to learn from experts, and we hire those experts.
Okay, great. Now, one thought that occurred to me as we're talking is, you know, sometimes students attempt, let's say, self-study, and it seems like Magoosh's approach is something in between self-study and a traditional class where you have to show up at X hour. And I'm wondering, of course, one of the risks in doing self-study is that you don't do it.
Yeah.
You have to be very disciplined. Now, do you have some kind of, I mean, how do Magoosh students handle that aspect of being on their own? Do you have like a suggested progress plan for different students, or is that an issue for Magoosh students?
It is definitely an issue. And I would say, you know, Magoosh is like buying a gym membership, and you still have to be motivated.
You still have to go to the gym.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you hire a personal trainer, that's more like a personal tutor. It's going to be much more expensive, but you have someone who you're accountable to.
So and you're paying more for it.
Exactly. So the way we address that issue is we create study plans that are tailored to a wide variety of different students. So an example is we have a one-week study plan for a student who just decided they want to take the GRE or GMAT and only has a week to study. Now, we don't recommend that, but we have a plan for that.
Yeah.
We have a one-month study plan, a three-month, a six-month. And then even within the 3 and 6 months, we have one that is focused for advanced math students, one that's focused for beginner math students, and similar for verbal. So that way, students can choose a study plan that best suits them. And if they're the type of student who really needs daily guidance, we'll provide that. And not only do we recommend using Magoosh, but we also recommend using the official material, whether it's from ETS for the GRE or GMAC for the GMAT. And then the other component is we have some systems in place where we look at how a student is using Magoosh, and if we mm-hmm. see that, oh, they're answering a lot of questions, but they're not watching videos, then one of our tutors sends them a message saying, hey, we really think you should watch videos, and we think that'll help improve your score, or we really think you should take a practice test because we noticed you haven't taken those. And so that provides a light touch that, you know, you'd get a heavier touch with a personal trainer, but with Magoosh, you'll still get a light touch, and we are constantly working on making that better so that the self-studiers can stay motivated and stay engaged, because we recognize that is a problem.
Okay, great. Great answer. Now, what are your best test prep tips for the GMAT?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'm on a roll.
When I was prepping for the GMAT, I did it all wrong. I know what not to do.
Well, you must have done something right if you got into Haas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a good standardized test taker, but I know that that model doesn't work for everyone. The first thing I'd say is make sure you give yourself enough time.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do that, and it became stressful, and I see it with our students all the time. We recommend having at least 3 months to prep. Now, that's not to say that you can't do it within a month. I mean, you can. It's just if you do it for 3 months, you're going to be in a position where you can really focus on your areas of weakness and see the greatest score improvement. 3 months of somewhat dedicated time, we're talking about a few hours a day or, you know, maybe 10 to 15 hours a week of prep will get you a very, very long way. And it sounds like a lot, but it'll help you sort of crack that 700 score and get into that top-tier business school. The other recommendation I have is understanding what your target score is. A student shooting for a 600 compared to a 700 will be should study in very different ways. A concrete example of that is there are very few probability questions on the GMAT. So if a student is weak in probability and they're only shooting for a 600, they may not really need to study probability, and they might just be able to, you know, guess on that question and see how it progresses. Whereas a student aiming for a 700 plus may need to still understand all aspects of math because it's very difficult to, you know, break that 700 barrier. And so that's another tip of understand what your target score is so that you can hone your approach to your target score rather than just trying to score as high as possible, even if you don't need to.
Mm-hmm. So the person who wouldn't need to, let's say, would be the person who's, let's say, that they definitely want to go to a local school and the average GMAT at that local school is 600.
Right. And
I mean, to put out a really simple example, on the other hand, the person who maybe is just starting out in the process may want to aim for the highest GMAT they can get. And then based on the GMAT, they will choose their schools. It's kind of a little bit different approach. If you know which school you're going to, then you can have a target GMAT score. If you really aren't sure or you think you want to go top tier, then you really just need to go for broke and make sure you know all the math, right?
Right, exactly. And that's where we recommend really giving yourself three months at least to study. And we see it also more on the GRE side,
okay,
where some programs want to see a very high math score,
right,
but you just need to score, say, a 150 in verbal. And if you
right.
know that going in, you
yeah.
can really hone your approach.
Right, right. I know a family member who was exactly in that situation. And I was talking to my relative, it was her son, and she said, you know, learning verbal is just torture for him, though he did really, really well in the quant. And he was going into a technical field. And finally she just said, you know what, I don't think you should retake. He did extraordinarily well. Okay, with his applications in his field, the verbal just wasn't emphasized.
Right, and so I agree wholeheartedly. And we have students who haven't thought through that yet, and then they focus so much on the verbal that that's time they could spend on their application or working on their math, right, because it's a technical degree.
Right, right. And again, he did extraordinarily well. What are your best test prep tips for the GRE, or are they basically the same?
Yeah, no, they're basically the same, which is give yourself enough time. We recommend
mm-hmm.
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say for the GRE more so than for the GMAT, understanding what your target score is, like we just talked about.
Right, right. Now, do you have any sense, and this question comes up all the time, and actually I was just talking with somebody at one of the testing agencies, and she was asking me, what can we do to convince people to take our exam? And I said, show that people who take your exam are going to get in better, or more likely to get in. My question to you is, do you have any sense of whether MBA applicants are better off taking the GRE or the GMAT? Any anecdotal evidence of higher acceptance rates with one over the other, given the same percentile scores? That's a question that's really intrigued me since school started accepting the GRE.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm glad you asked for anecdotal evidence and not hard evidence, because I don't have any hard evidence.
Right.
I think anyone who claims to have hard evidence at this point, since it's so early, we might be overstating things a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, from what I've seen, our office is very close to Berkeley's campus. I'm still very engaged with the business school. What I've seen is, you know, if you can perform well on either test, you're gonna stand a good shot of getting in. That being said, I think the GMAT for business schools is still sort of looked at as an easier comparison for
mm-hmm.
the admission committees. Historically, they know what GMAT scores are. All of the their historical students have taken the GMAT. I mean, I think in my class, the class of that graduated in May of 2010, mm-hmm. I believe almost everyone took the GMAT.
Right. So I think it was required then. It was still required then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so as well. And I think so the GMAT just provides a better point of reference. And maybe it doesn't necessarily for the admissions committee. Maybe they'll be okay with you taking the GRE. But as a student, I knew that at Haas, I believe the average score was a 710, and so that's mm-hmm. what I was aiming for. If I were taking the GRE, I'm not sure what I would be aiming for, and I'm not sure what would be a good score. And I think from a student's perspective, that's sort of difficult because you don't know what's good enough.
Wow, and so, interesting point.
Yeah, so that's at least my personal take is if someone asked me, well, what GRE score do I need to get into Haas, I wouldn't be able to answer them. If they asked me what GMAT score do I need to get into Haas, I would say, well, you know, the average score is a 710. If you can break 700 and you have a strong application, you're well-rounded, you know, there's a shot.
Right, right. How do you see Magoosh growing and expanding in the future? You mentioned that you're going to be adding a TOEFL element. Anything else that you see coming down the pike?
Yeah, so this year it's about SAT and TOEFL.
Okay.
And hopefully next year, we'll see, but I think we're going to look into expanding into the ACT.
Okay.
You know, there are, many people don't know this, but there are as many ACT takers as there are SAT takers, and that's mm-hmm. a very underserved market in terms of access to prep, and so that's something, you know, we really wanted to go after. But we love our GRE students, and we love focusing on the GRE and the GMAT both, and so we'll continue doing that. And we've grown quite a bit in those two spaces, and so as we expand, we're still going to be as focused as ever on those two exams.
Got it. Any thoughts of going into the MCAT market?
We think about it, but I think that's something that we're for now holding off on. Uh-huh. And, you know, maybe it'll be something we do down the road.
Got it. Now, I noticed that the SAT, I mean, it's kind of an interesting time to be starting with SAT prep because the SAT is going to be undergoing some major, major changes in the next couple of years. And one of those changes is that ETS is partnering with the Khan Academy to present SAT prep. And you came out, you personally, as Magoosh as an organization, came out very much in favor of that. Can you comment?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right that there are major changes, and we did come out in favor of it. For one, our mission is to make education more accessible. And so we've always looked at Khan Academy as a company that aims to do the same thing. So we have a shared mission with them, which is just giving more access, leveling the playing field. And so for us, this is great news because it just means there's going to be more access for students. The second thing is I think online test prep compared to tutors and classes, in-person classes, has always had somewhat of a negative reputation in that, I can learn better from a class or a tutor. Online, you know, who knows how good the quality is or something like that. And we've been fighting that and showing our students and others that online can work as well or maybe even better. And we think the partnership with Khan Academy will show that to a broader population, that, wow, online can be very effective and that you don't have to pay thousands of dollars for a class or a tutor. And so the second point, in addition to the shared mission, is this perception of online test prep and changing the way the U.S. and the world think about it. I'd say the third point is that we view it as a positive because it's showing that the College Board and ETS think that the SAT prep actually matters. If they didn't think SAT prep mattered, they wouldn't have partnered with Khan Academy to create a prep tool. So it's validation that, you know, while they want to be testing what you learn in high school, that you can still prepare for these exams and you can still improve your math and vocabulary and verbal skills. And we've known that, and it's great to see that the makers of the SAT are coming out to say, yeah, you can make a difference in your score with prep. And I think the biggest question that we get is, okay, well, Khan Academy is partnering with the College Board on this tool. They're offering it for free. Will that kill your business? For us, you know, we think free is great, and we think we'll have an additional layer on top of that that adds a lot of value with our specialization, with our focus. And mm-hmm. so we think there's enough room for both of us to make a difference in right. the SAT prep world.
And you still have the tutoring, you know, the tutoring element that I don't think Khan can match.
Right, where students can email us
yeah.
questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, to be honest, it's something that if we feel like if we're doing our job well, students won't be emailing us questions because we've preempted all of their questions.
Because you make the answers so obvious.
Exactly. But we use the questions to help us make the answers so obvious.
That's great. Now, you are on the steering committee for the Hansu Li Fellowship. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so Hansu Li was my co-founder of Magoosh. She was my business school classmate, and we were in this venture together. And we graduated in May of 2010, and then in December of 2011, Hansu was diagnosed with lung cancer. And mm-hmm. at the young age of 33, he was a non-smoker. He was very fit and generally healthy, and so it was a shock.
Yeah.
He battled for 15 months. But just unfortunately lost his battle on March 4th of 2013 and then passed away. And in his honor, his fiance and me and one of our other classmates and former Magoosh co-founders created a fellowship in his honor. And basically to help Haas students who are interested in entrepreneurship work on their venture between their first and second years by giving them a small stipend effectively to cover food and rent. Uh-huh. When we were students, Hansu and I worked on Magoosh full-time during that summer, and we did it without the support of a fellowship and just on our own, but we had classmates who wanted to work on their ventures but who needed to pay rent, needed food, and so they took an internship instead. And so we just wanted to promote entrepreneurship to honor Hansu's memory because it was something he was passionate about and something that he wanted to change. And so we thought with his passing, this could be a great way to honor him.
Wonderful. Beautiful. Where do you stand in the debate? And just go back to the fellowship for a minute. Is it for one student or two students? Or it just depends on the size of the fellowship that in a given year?
Yeah, so it's we will fund up to two students,
wow.
$5,000 per student. But you could have a team of three or four, but then the fellowship maxes out at $10,000 for the summer.
Got it.
And if people want to learn more, they can go to hansuleefellowship.org. That's H-A-N-S-O-O, leefellowship.org. And there's a stories about Hansu and whatnot.
We'll include a link in the show notes for that also. Okay. And now, where do you stand? Obviously, you were in business school when you started Magoosh with Hansu Li and I think one other partner. Where do you stand in the debate about the value of an MBA to entrepreneurs?
This is a tough one. I have absolutely no regrets, and I think for me it was a great decision, and it got me to where I am today.
Okay.
That being said, I don't think it's for everyone,
mm-hmm.
And so there's no right answer. The MBA helped me become a better leader, a better manager. It also helped me build a network that helped mm-hmm. us raise some seed funding to help us get Magoosh off the ground. It gave us access to a great pool of friends who are early testers of our product.
Mm-hmm.
So there were so many advantages to the MBA, and I'm still very active in the Berkeley Haas community. That being said, for some students, if they can get into an incubator or an accelerator program and they're interested in entrepreneurship, that can also be a great avenue, and you can build a network as well.
Mm-hmm.
The MBA, the nice thing about it is if you ever decide to get out of entrepreneurship, it has a lot of weight and credence. Whereas if you do one of these other programs and you do decide to get out of entrepreneurship, it might not carry the same weight. And so that's, I'd say, one core advantage. For me, I have no regrets, but it really depends, the case-by-case situation.
What do you think makes Haas such a great entrepreneurial program?
I think it's the sense of community to begin with. A lot of the alumni who are entrepreneurs are very active. I mean, I go back and speak maybe two or three times a semester. I'm very accessible for the students. And part of the reason I do that is because Haas gave me so much. When I was a student, the other alumni were so accessible who were entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So just that aspect of community and helping each other grow is phenomenal. And then in addition, We've seen Haas innovate on their curriculum, on their entrepreneurship curriculum, so much since we were students there, and that just shows they're trying to stay ahead of the curve. They're trying to adopt the newest entrepreneurship sort of methodologies, and they're working. And so I think just staying ahead and innovating in their curriculum makes it pretty powerful.
Great. Any last pieces of advice for someone considering applying for a graduate degree?
If someone's considering applying, I'd say you should just do it. Make sure you give yourself enough time. Mm-hmm. There's no harm. I mean, there's some fees involved, of course, but give yourself enough time to study for the exams, to do your applications, and then just apply, and it gives you an option. I was in a situation where I wasn't sure I wanted to go to business school. I took the GMAT, I applied, and then I fell in love with Berkeley when I visited. And I thought, wow, I need to come here. And I didn't know that going in. So, just go through the process.
Okay. Bhavin, thank you so much. This has been great. However, I think we are out of time, and you've been very generous with yours. Where can listeners learn more about your work?
Yeah, they can just go to magoosh.com, M-A-G-O-O-S-H.com, and you can see sort of everything we're doing, all of our tests, our blog, learn as much as you want, and you can reach out to us.
Great. We'll include a link in the show notes at info.accepted.com/50 to Magoosh, to the Hansu Lee Fellowship, and to the resources I mentioned earlier. Check them out again. You'll find the links at info.accepted.com/50. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 50th episode. It's hard to believe we're at 50. As always, please share your feedback. You can leave any kind of feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing Linda@accepted.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.